Paige. There is someone out there. There must be. I have run through 100 different scenarios in my head to figure out what that signal means, and I can't come to any other conclusion. It's human, which means there must be humans somewhere. I give his arm a reassuring squeeze. I hear you, and I trust you without a doubt, but you know I'm right about the truck. I pause to give him a chance to respond. His shoulders slump. We can break camp at first light and head further east. Gavin's gaze darts around at each of our companions. Finally, he nods.
Okay. First light. I will send everything we have back to Director Perlberg tonight and let him know we are going beyond the radio zone.
Easton's jaw slackens. He takes a few urgent steps deeper into the tent.
You heard what the DS director said. If we go any further, we will be out of range and out of help. We will be on our own.
I round on him, planting my fists on my hips. Are you scared, Easton?
No, I'm reasonable.
He snaps.
Not everyone here has been trained for this.
He steps closer to me, leaning in and lowering his voice.
Paige, if there are people out there, you and I might be able to fight back. If one of us falls, everyone is screwed, and no one will know what happened to us.
Easton is right, and I hate it. I also don't like how close to me he stands. It requires immense willpower not to retreat. I raise my chin and glare at him. Our team leader has made up his mind. He's in charge, and we will follow his orders. Easton retreats a step, alarmed by my response, and is he hurt that I didn't take his side? Did he really expect me to? He glances at the others as if seeking support. Harper stands behind Gavin. Olivia studies the floor. Dr. Adams watches everything with an emotionless expression. No one is coming to Easton's aid. I fight off a smirk. Grumbling under his breath, Easton stomps back outside for his watch. Everyone else shuffles to their sleeping bags. Gavin climbs up to the equipment on the bed of the truck and begins his work, already oblivious to the uneasiness in the air. My brother is right. We came out here for answers. But that doesn't make Easton wrong. Going out of range will be dangerous. I settle down beside Olivia, watching my brother work in a bubble, all alone. Do you really think he's right? Olivia whispers. Who? Gavin. She is watching him as well, hugging the lip of the sleeping bag close to her chin. Are there other people out there? I offer a small shrug. Maybe. He's right. The signal had to come from something. But it could also just be an old looped signal, though the logic doesn't entirely work.
If it were, wouldn't the analysts have discovered it again?
Dr. Adams mumbles from his own sleeping bag. A lump swells in my throat as I stare at my brother. He is undoubtedly the most brilliant person I have ever known, Dad included. If he is convinced someone is out there, he's probably right. But what will we encounter when we find them? My dad has always believed that we can't be all that's left in the world, I say softly. He believes that if we ever want to fix the broken world, we need to start by going out into it and finding others who might be like us. It's been a driving force for him for 20 years. If Gavin is convinced someone is out there, he's probably right. But he also has a serious hero worship complex when it comes to Dad. If Dad said it, it must be true. Unless we can prove otherwise, Gavin won't change his mind. Olivia heaves out a sigh. That's a tall order. I mean, it's a huge world out there, and we can't possibly explore it all. Her face pales. That's not what he's trying to do, is it? Explore all of it? I laugh softly and shake my head. No, I'm actually surprised he wants to venture beyond the safety net of our communication with Elpis. Gavin is much more comfortable at home than anywhere else. He doesn't like change. Olivia's eyes drift closed. Behind her, my gaze meets Dr. Adams.
A man determined to gather enough evidence to prove his theory will step outside his comfort zone 100 times.